Today's book reading is episode 2 of The Celtic Stone, read by the author Nick Hawkes. Chris Norman has been asked to fly a light plane from Darwin to Alice Springs in Central Australia. Nearing his destination, he begins an aerobatic sequence. Below him, an Aboriginal bushman is hunting a member of his tribe whom the elders say must die.
Chris aimed the 200-horsepower Lycoming engine at the sky. He checked his wings were level with the horizon and waited for the aircraft to climb as high as it could go before stalling. With just the minimum of forward movement left, he stamped on the left rudder bar, cartwheeling the plane until it aimed at the ground. Snapping the throttle closed, he kicked at the right rudder bar to prevent the aircraft swinging like a pendulum. "No, you don't, my darling. I've got you." Chris eased the joystick towards his stomach, nursing the aircraft out of its vertical dive as the G-forces started to crush him into his seat. Using the momentum of his dive, he soared up towards the heavens again. At the apex of his climb, he smelt it. The pungent, acrid smell of burning vinyl. "No, no, no! Something was horribly wrong. No, no, don't let it be. Damn it, something's short of the buzz bar. Please, God, not a cockpit fire." Hideous images of melted faces of Second World War airmen flitted across his mind. In just a few seconds, foul-smelling smoke filled the cockpit. Chris flicked off the master switch, killing all the electrics. Coughing and retching, he reached above him and tugged at the yellow handle that released the hood of the canopy. It crashed backwards, allowing the engine's slipstream to suck the smoke from the cockpit. However, the extra oxygen fueled the fire. Blinded by tears, Chris groped for the fire extinguisher clipped between the seats and wrenched it free. Perversely, it slipped from his fingers, but instead of dropping to the floor, it smashed against his face and disappeared out of the hatch. "Damn it, I'm upside down!" Looking through the smoke, he saw patches of brown, scabby land above his head. He hauled the wings level and put the aircraft into a steep spiral dive. "Land, land, before you burn, fool!" He fought to control his terror. "Where?" With savage bitterness, he realised that the West MacDonald Ranges could in no way be construed as an ideal landing ground. With no instruments, Chris could only guess his speed. "Don't stall, please don't stall." He tried not to panic as he reviewed his situation. No parachute, no stall warning alarm, no instruments, no flaps. And now the heat from the fire behind the dashboard was beginning to sear his shins as his feet rested on the rudder bar. He had to get down as fast as possible. No radio, no way to transmit a mayday call. He was going to crash, and no one would know. "Dear God, dear God, dear God!" Chris looked for a landing spot. The only location he could see was a bald stone plateau on top of the rocky range. It was covered with small tussocks of grass and vegetation fighting for life in the rocky crevices. He rolled out of the spiral dive at what he judged to be 400 feet above the plateau and drove the aircraft at the ground, screaming in agony as the flames licked at his legs. The carefully trained part of his brain continued to fly the aircraft. "No flaps, too fast, too fast, you're too fast!" Chris dropped the Bulldog down onto its main wheels. The aircraft shuddered and skimmed across the uneven surface until both wheels hit a small scabby rock ledge, throwing the nose wheel to the ground with such force that it collapsed. The ruined plane skidded across the rocky plateau on its nose in a shower of sparks and dust. Chris punched at the quick release button on his harness, and as he did, the plane flipped over onto its back, throwing Chris out of the aircraft before toppling off the plateau into a deep gorge where it exploded into flames. It took only 30 seconds for the first of the flies to find his bleeding, broken body. The hunter had watched the roaring monster as it dived from the air and crashed to the ground like a bird killed in flight. The shock of the spectacle and the explosion that followed meant that it was a few moments before he noticed that a man, a white man, had been spewed out of the monster before it had died. The fire caused by the explosion quickly burnt itself out. Silence followed. Nothing moved. Terror gave way to shock, and shock gave way to awe. The white man, the eagle man, had flown through the air. Amazing! But now he was dead. Perhaps he was not meant to fly. Had he angered a spirit being? He looked carefully at the eagle man lying on the rock face. both the monster and the man looked dead. This was good. Here was spirit magic he did not understand, and he wanted nothing to do with it. High above, a wedge-tailed eagle soared on the air thermal, rising from the sun-scorched rocky range. "Aye, aye," it cried. The hunter looked up and considered its message carefully. It was very strange for a wedge-tail to call in flight. His grandmother's spirits were trying to tell him something. He reached for the winged stone around his neck and waited for understanding. Slowly it came to him. The eagle was not afraid, so neither should he be. He felt the winged stone's assurance. It would keep him safe, but even so he would have a spear ready. He edged towards the body on the rock face. For a while he watched the white man's shallow breathing. There was a terrible gash across his left eye. If the white man lived, he would always be blind in that eye. The man's left leg was also broken, and the bottom of both legs was badly burnt, displaying angry, charred red flesh. The hunter gave the white man a prod with the end of his spear. There was no response. "Aye, aye," urged the eagle. Was the eagle urging him on or calling for a mate? He searched the sky, but could see no other bird. The hunter reflected. Perhaps it was time he too found a mate. He would ask his aunts. They would enjoy arguing and negotiating. Once they had chosen someone suitable, they would ask the elders. And seldom did the elders go against the women. The women were shrewd. They knew. But that was for later. Right now, the eagle was calling for him to help the white man, the eagle man. The man needed water and medicine. He would need to be carried into one of the steep chasms where there was water and shade. The hunter assessed the weight of the eagle man. He was bulky and well-muscled, about the weight of a female red kangaroo. With a grunt, he heaved the eagle man across his shoulders. The white man's smell was strange, different from that of his own people. It was a bitter, sour smell. He didn't like it. Squatting down to pick up his spears, the hunter padded across the rock face under his burden.
The Celtic Stone and other books in the Stone series by Nick Hawkes can be obtained from bookshops and online.